So as you heard, my name is Seth, and I pastor at Maple Park Alliance Church in Quesnel. I know you probably say, why do you say Alliance Church? We're all from the Alliance Church, but it's just what we say there. And I want to say thank you first off for this opportunity, for this chance to speak to all of you in this moment. Thanks for the trust that comes along with that, and it's an honor that I don't take lightly. First off, when I got asked to speak about this a while ago, I kind of laughed to myself, and I kind of talked to my wife about this and some of my friends. Thought they want me to speak on, you know, sustainability, stay the course, which I think is really funny because I probably think about quitting every week, and I know a lot of you can probably relate to that. So it was like, oh yeah, I guess I could speak on that because I haven't quit yet. But so that's a reality I know some of you, a few of you, can relate to. And I'm not saying that just to be funny. Like, I know that that is a present reality. I know that that's a real thing. And so if I'm going to say anything that's going to be valuable, anything that you're going to be able to take away from today, I'm going to have to be honest. And I'm not saying that as the cliche, like, let me be honest. I really want you to understand that I'm going to try and share with you a real piece of who I am. And through the story that I'm going to share, it's my goal that while you're hearing that, you'll remember a few people who I'm going to publicly name right now. First off, I want to say thank you to our district team, to all the people that support us behind the scenes, for us that are a little farther away from the Lower Mainland, and we're still within reach. It still feels like we are important. I specifically want to thank Brian, who never was more than a phone call or a text message away during our transition when we were going through some rough times as a church. And there was moments where we talked about it as a staff. It kind of felt like we were the only church in the district at times. That's how close in proximity Brian was to us. I also want to thank Darren and Kristen for their transition ministry, the covering and friendship they've had for us. You're looking at one person up here right now, but I would be a car salesman or working at Costco. Like, these are real things that I would be doing if I didn't have Darren and Kristen in my life. If I didn't have those people that were supporting me, I would not be here. I am not the sole product of my own stick-to-itness. And some of you need to hear that because you're battling with this desire to give yourself the credit for staying the course. And that's a facade. It's a lie. You aren't doing this alone. Wow, this is going to be a really great message. Eh? You can really feel that. It's just so good. I also want to thank my friends Jessica and Darius, who were in ministry with us at our church. Like I said, these are people that outside of my family and my wife, I wouldn't be able to do this today. The crushing weight of what was going on was too much for one person. So a little bit about me. I graduated Bible College in 2012. I graduated from Summit Pacific Bible College. So I graduated from a Pentecostal school. So I like to tell people that I went to a Pentecostal Bible College, then I got saved, and I started working for the Alliance. But I grew up in a Christian home. A lot of my family members were in the ministry. I'm from a family of seven, and out of seven of us, five of us at some point either went for formal Bible college training or entered the ministry at some point. So I have this really strong sense of inherited calling, of family legacy. You know, my great-grandfather was a church planter in Alberta, so I was kind of steeped in this culture of this is something that I have to do. A personal calling was part of it, but the context was that I had this family calling, that there was an expectation, a level of expectation that this is where my life would be headed. And so after I graduated Bible college and in my fourth year of ministry, we moved to British Columbia and we joined the Alliance family. At this point, I joined, and I say this now, what I thought was a healthy and vibrant church, I probably knew better. I probably knew that it wasn't quite what it looked like. But here's the thing. I had an opportunity at this church to leave the town of Drayton Valley in Alberta, a small town, and go to a bigger city center, and I had the opportunity to be seen. Now, don't let this get lost on you. Being number five in a family of seven being seen, there's this correlation of attention equals affection. If you are seen, you are important. If you are not seen, you are not important. And so this context of my family and my desire, my deep rooted desire to be seen, led me to go to a place where I could be upfront and be special. We had two services, not just one. That's a big deal, right? To go from a small church to now, well, we have two services. And here's the thing, when the church was going good, I loved it. I loved the praise, the congratulations, the cheers. I loved it so much, that was the driving force of what made ministry successful for me. The gauge of what made ministry successful was applause. I know a lot of you, because you're pastors or you're in ministry, can relate to that. And you might not want to relate to that or admit to that publicly, but you can. Because the numbers, the people, the amount of services, the amount of lights and effects that we had were feeding me. That was infusing in me a sense of value. Now, maybe at this point you want me to go back and talk about the unhealthy stuff at the church. And you want me to divulge the things that made it hard for me to stay the course and how I navigated my way through that. And let me tell you, this is what I've learned from that. It would be so easy for me to blame the context. It would be so easy. I have every right. I don't have every right, but I'm saying I have every right to blame the church, the leadership, the system, the culture behind the scenes. It's not my fault. This is the culture that's there, and I'm just a part of it. I'm just trying to do my best to work through this. Let me tell you, it's always going to be easier for you to blame the problems or your reasons for leaving on somebody else, on something else. So here's what I want to say about sustainability. I had to learn the hard way that when the wheels started to come off, when you started to peel back the layers, all the stuff that was feeding me was now killing me. The crowd turns really fast. You don't do what they like, now they don't like you. And so this correlation of when it's going good, somehow that equals good ministry, that equals good stuff for me, starts to fall apart as if it's like overnight. It's like a switch gets flipped. Some of you know that because you've had that switch flip. You're like, what's going on? Last week, you all loved me. Last week, it was going great. The hard part is I felt a sense of abandonment and distance from God. Not from the ministry that I was involved in. Not from those people. I started to feel that from God. That worship was empty because nobody was worshiping with me. That ministry wasn't going well because people weren't showing up. Here's what I want to say. I'm probably going to say that a lot, by the way. So if you're taking notes, he's like, well, here's what he's going to say again. Okay. I have a desire. I'm going to name it. I'm going to say it right now. This is why I've struggled with even accepting this opportunity to speak. Because I want to be famous really bad. And I know that sounds funny. But I do. I want to be famous so bad. And some of you do too. Maybe like two or three of us can probably be that way. The rest of you are so humble and you don't want to be famous. Like, just don't even look at me. I know that you guys just... But me, I want to be famous so bad that I started to leverage ministry for my own personal fame. That I started thinking if I could get out of this small town and get to a bigger city center, more people will see me. My ministry, therefore, will be more successful. I'll just be a better pastor. Because don't they have larger congregations? They must, right? That's the mindset I started to get into. And I started doing this thing where I was taking scripture, I was taking the call of Jesus, and I was just tweaking it a little bit. And so, and some of you probably can't relate to this, but I would say things like, hey, Jesus, if you could follow me to this event that I'm doing, it's going to be great. And if you could come with me, and if you could follow me into this area, if you could follow me, and we're going to invite you in, We're gonna say that. We're gonna invite you in. Then things will be really, really great. Follow me to these people, to this culture. Just follow me, Jesus. I got such a great plan, and it's gonna be great. And if you could just be a good support network for me, Jesus, so I can be like, hey, it's not about me. It's about the guy behind me. And then you start to realize that that's not what Scripture says. They might be so simple that you're like, that's too simple. But Jesus says, come and follow me. And how many of us, if we're being honest, if we're being transparent, we can admit that so often we are the ones leading and not following. Well, Seth, we're leaders. We're supposed to lead. Who's going to lead them if I don't lead them? Let me just get into one moment real quick here. This is where it kind of was a really bad moment for me in the midst of what was going on. And let me just also address, there's always going to be chaos. For those of you that are in a chaotic situation right now, where things are not looking so good, that's always there. Like, it's not going away. You will go, you will leave, you'll go to another church, another ministry, another pastor, another leadership team, another district, another denomination, and there will be chaos. You just can't avoid it. Whether you quit or you stay or you stay or you quit, if you don't manage yourself, what's in here, you will always be at the mercy of that chaos. You will never sustain or press through. So here's what happened. We're in my house, and we're in the middle of being publicly dragged through the mud on social media and on Facebook, and we're getting emails and nasty letters in the middle of this church split. And one of my friends came to my house and said, I know you can't just let loose on these people, but I can. So would you let me run wild on these people? Like, I don't care if my reputation gets ruined. Let me go after these people. And I had this moment where I thought, wow, I'm so much like Jesus. I'm going to tell him to just put his sword away. And I'm going to heal this guy's ear. I'm so much like Jesus. And then I realized in that story, I'm supposed to be Peter. I'm not supposed to be Jesus. Have you ever found yourself in that place where you take the scriptures as a leader and you put yourself in the place of Jesus and you interact with everybody as if you are Jesus? And you say, well, I'm so much like Jesus. And don't get me wrong, that's the call, right? But we miss it that I'm Peter. I'm the guy who's got the unhinged temper. I'm the guy who's supposed to have Jesus come to me and say, put your sword away, Seth. Don't do that. I'm not Jesus. And in this confusion that existed prior, this confusion of asking people to follow me, asking Jesus to follow me, I started to read the gospel message, insert my name, and somehow I started to make disciples of me. Now I don't want to quit because of the chaos. Now I want to quit because of this utter feeling of failure, that I somehow have failed in my calling. That somehow along the way, I couldn't pinpoint when or where I lost it. And maybe I never even had it to begin with. And we love to toss that stuff around when people quit ministry, don't we? Well, not everybody has a calling. Some people just can't hack it. We love to throw that kind of stuff around, but the idea was that I had replaced myself. And friends, some of you are walking that line so close between Jesus, and this is a trademark phrase, you can use it, I give you my permission, or Mises. Huh? Some of you are walking that line so close that your ministry is not distinguishable between what's Mises and what's Jesus. And if you want to sustain in ministry this morning, you want to stay the course, you have to abandon the desire to create a following. You have to abandon the desire to create a following. You need to double down on your call to be a follower. That's the call. You need to walk away from this blurry gray zone of crafting yourself as the leader and not demonstrating what it is to be a follower. Abandon the idea of crafting good ministry and double down on crafting a good relationship with Jesus. Because that's where good ministry comes out of. You want to sustain in ministry? Sustain with Jesus. Figure out your relationship with Jesus, because there is nothing that will lead you to your eventual burnout that will make you walk away from ministry faster than walking away from Jesus. And friends, you don't walk away from Jesus when it's hard. If you want to be reflective, you probably have started. I can tell you from my own example, I started walking away from Jesus when it was going good, because it's a lot easier to walk away from Jesus when it's going good. It's a lot easier to do that. I think we often equate when people leave or don't sustain or can't stay the course or vary off of that idea. We always equate those things, church splits, schisms, whatever, to bad things. Something bad happened. There was a crisis. Let me tell you, the crisis that I experienced started long before there was crisis in my church. Long before there was crisis in the ministry. It started with me when I started asking Jesus to follow me, to help me gather a crowd, to help me amass a following. They started when my relationship with Jesus became about harvesting service material. When my devotion time was about getting good sermon content, making a good Facebook post, making a good Instagram post, going live on Facebook the right way. That's what my relationship with Jesus was. When my interaction with Scripture was about finding catchy one-liners, things that supported what I wanted to do, supported me and my calling. Again, if you want to sustain in ministry, you have to have sustainability with Jesus. One of the things that I have done in the moving out of this transition is I have private devotion time that I will not tell you about. The stuff that I'm going through is for me. It's for me and Jesus. It's not the sermon series I'm preaching. It's not the content I'm working on for my next message. It's for me. Sorry. And why did I do that intentionally? Because the flip side of it is that this just becomes, maybe it sounds so cliche, but it's like this just becomes a job. And Lord help us if this is just a job. If we're just researchers. Like, do you want to be a researcher? Is that what you really feel is good sustainable ministry, is just researching stuff to back your opinion, to back your desire to amass a following? Because good ministry comes from a good, healthy relationship with Jesus for no other reason than because you are a sinner and you are in need of a Savior. That's why. And if you can craft a good lifestyle around that, you will have good ministry in your church. But you have to understand that your relationship with Jesus is not the same as your relationship to your church. Your calling, your identity is not your church. It's not how many people like you in any given week. I'm sure there's elements that are reflected in that. Don't get me wrong. But you are not your church. You are not the head of your church. You are not at the helm of your church. I'm saying this because I personally understand, and I know that there are some of you that equate your spirituality, your relationship to Jesus, to the size of your church. That some of you are sitting here today feeling less valuable because you feel like you have less. You're comparing yourself to the church down the road that's got 1,000 and you've only got 100. And somehow if you could get Jesus on board with your ideas, you'd have 1,000. That somehow we think that appointing is reflective of the anointing. That because you're in a bigger context than me, you have a bigger anointing than me. You have a bigger dose of the Spirit than me. I've got little itty bitty small town Holy Spirit. You've got big city Holy Spirit. They're just not the same. I'm sorry. The Spirit moves differently in city centers. And I'm not trying to be cheeky. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to save some of my friends out here that are at the point that are stuck in this room, listening to all that noise, listening to all the lies, all that feedback, and cannot cut through it and hear the calling of Jesus for you. That he has called you. It's not a generic calling to this room. Hey, everybody in this room, who wants to do ministry? Woo! That's not the calling. But you, I don't even know your name. He called you by name. He's appointed you by name. A purpose and a plan for you. The God that sent Jesus down, the one who conquered the grave, who rose, the author of our faith, the perfect image, the author of our faith, called you. Not us. And let's see who can rise to the top. He didn't tap me on the shoulder and say, oh yeah, if you're up to it, yeah, sure, you could be in ministry too. There's a little place somewhere up there. You'd probably be good there. But then the other guy's like, wow, you're my guy. That's not how this works. He's equipped you. He's empowered you. You will do great things for the kingdom. But your goal is to not match the pace of somebody else. I wish I had like a 3-point plan, 7 steps to sustainability. I don't have those. The thing I took out of our transition that was the only thing I'd bring out of that is a profound love and understanding for the desperation of my soul, my life, to have a real living relationship with Jesus. That's what I took out of there. And so we see in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. And this is kind of bookended, this portion of scripture. Jesus is condemning the unrepentant cities. And then right after this, we'll kind of get into this. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You want to sustain in ministry? Match your steps to the steps of the Master. You want to stay the course? Walk with Jesus. That's it. I'm sure there's other nuance to that. I'm not trying to undercut the other speakers that are coming that have prepared. Like, this is the only thing that matters. See you next year, folks. But what's interesting to me is where this is found in Scripture. So Jesus is condemning the unrepentant cities. He puts his call out. And the next thing he does is they walk and they start eating the grain. And the people who love to say, no, the yoke isn't that easy and light, sorry, condemn them. Say, you can't do that. You're not allowed to have a yoke that light. But Jesus has a desire for you to come to him, to learn from him, to walk with him. And you know what? To even break some of the rules to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. Which, if we're being honest, a lot of us are afraid to do. A lot of us are afraid to let go of the yoke of expectation, the yoke of accomplishment, the yoke of all these things, the yoke of what somebody else is doing that we're not doing. And we're trying to play catch up to everybody else. And we're not going at the pace that Jesus wants us to go. We're not stopping to take care of ourselves, to feed ourselves. Don't neglect that Jesus's goal, Jesus' purpose is to sustain you, not me. I love the district team, but it's not their goal. Sustainability isn't found in comparison. Sustainability isn't found in how the guy down the road or the team down the road is doing it. I believe that Scripture over and over gives this idea that Jesus has the desire for us to follow him. Wow, that's so revolutionary. No, that's such a weird thought. That Jesus has the desire for us to follow him, to match our pace to his. To learn his rhythm. Because guess what? You're going to have hard times. And if you aren't having hard times right now, maybe you just come out of hard times. Maybe you're just going to turn the corner and run into some hard times. You're going to want to quit. You're going to get tired. You're going to get hurt. You're going to feel alone. You're going to feel all of these things. So don't do it matching this church ministry's pace. Your desire to be famous pace. Look, again, I could just say, well, all these things are the fault of the church when it imploded. My depression, my anxiety, my wanting to quit, that was the church's fault. I'm just a great leader in a bad context. I could say that, and it would be an outright lie. That's what it would be. I can't fix that stuff. I can't accomplish those things. I may have a part in it, but my call is to follow Jesus. Some of you are sitting here and you might be ready to leave your church. You haven't even told anybody yet. You might be done. You might just be strategically planning your resignation so you could participate in this retreat. I just feel like the season for me to resign is December. It's just a better time of the year. And don't let that make you feel like you are a failure. Here's the thing. We talked about this last night a little bit with some of my friends. This isn't in my notes, so get ready for around the overtime session. Restart the timer. Oftentimes in our desire to be famous, our desire to be seen, we elevate. I didn't plan to say this. I apologize in advance for those of you who might get upset. We elevate our own calling and we forget that your calling is just as valid, important, and kingdom focused and minded as the people that are sitting in your pews. Or if you're a progressive church, your chairs. Or if you're really out there, your stools. My calling is no better than any of your calling. That's not the point. And so we equate people that leave this elevated platform and step down into whatever you call it, the secular environment, the secular work world, as if somehow they maybe didn't have a calling, or their calling wasn't very loud, but you have a calling to be in ministry, not because you're a pastor, but because you're a follower of Jesus. Like you have a calling to be in ministry, not because you get paid to do it, not because a board signs your check and gives it to you. You have a calling to be in ministry because Jesus has called you to make disciples. That's why. So I don't know how to preach on sustainability in ministry or stay in the course in ministry without just bringing it back down to have a relationship with Jesus and it'll work out. Have a real, living, present relationship with Jesus and you will be in ministry. Sure, your platform, your opportunities might be different, but you will be in ministry. Maybe not paid ministry. And the greatest piece of advice I can give you, the greatest information from my story, be proactive. Be present. Daily make that decision to have your personal relationship with Jesus. Don't wait for the crisis to evaluate it. Don't wait for the church split to see how you measure up in your relationship with Jesus. Don't wait for the walls to cave in. Don't look to the left or the right or the front or the back for a measuring stick of success. Don't look at me for a measuring stick of success. And I'm not trying to be cheeky. I don't know how to tell you to be sustainable in your ministry. I do know from this picture, having spent time in the woods, I could tell you, if you want to stay on the path, just stay on the path. That's how you stay on the path. You don't go off of the path. But oftentimes we convince ourselves that we're such good path followers that we could probably make a similar path that would get to the same spot and maybe see a few better things. Don't do that. Just stay on the path. Just stay in relationship with Jesus for no reason other than you need Jesus. For the same reasons that you invite people to have relationship with Jesus in your church, in your ministry, when you make that call and it's so simple and it's so pure and profound for people that have never had it, that's the same for you too. Don't forget that. Don't neglect, regardless of where you are in your journey, that you have to communicate with him. You got to talk to him. Spend time in prayer, in worship. Know the word, know the story. Not to postulate for others, not to show how much more of the story you know, but because you need to know it. And it's hard. It's really hard. Like I had this thing happen to my Bible the other day where a page fell out. And so I taped it back in. And now it kind of sticks out a little bit. I was so happy because it makes it look like I read my Bible so much. Like this thing doesn't look new anymore. It's, oh yeah, there used to be gold on there, but I'm just always thumbing through it. So it's just, it's gone. But that's a real temptation, that we want to keep this close to us so that people can see how close it is to us. That we want to quote scripture so people can hear that we can quote scripture. And then I know it all too well that you'll go home, you'll have a great service. You'll preach a fire message, everyone will be high-fiving and Instagramming it. And you'll be like, yeah, yeah. And you'll go home and you sit there and you're like, I haven't talked to God in weeks. I do, like, that's not just me. Maybe it is. That's how you don't sustain. When it's all about what you're doing. When it's all about what people are consuming from you. When it's all about how it looks. And so take that opportunity to evaluate that right now, this morning. And for those of you who are sitting out there and you're scared, you're thinking this is the last retreat you're either going to be at or the last retreat your church can afford for you to be at, or you're thinking about how you can polish your resume, or you're thinking about how you can present yourself in a way that'll make you look attractive to the other churches that are here so that when you lose your job soon, they'll want to hire you. For those of you who are here silently lost and have no idea how you ended up where you are, you have no idea how it is just so dry and empty. Look, the fastest way to ruin ministry, the fastest way to ruin anything is to make it about you. The remedy, however, and the fastest way to fix that is to make it about Jesus. And you're not far off the path. You can just hop back on. And for those of you who I just described this morning, and you want and need prayer, you need to have those moments in this community with some of these people. You need to make that conscious effort. There's no shame in it. There's no, oh, I told you he wasn't doing very well. He's up at the front. I wonder if he's going to leave soon. Do you think I should apply for his job? I get it that it's really nice in this room. And we all wear our best clothes. And we all look good. I get that. We're representing our churches well and our ministries well. If you're sitting here and that's just a facade, don't feel isolated. We're all the same. We're all in this together. The spirit that I have is the same spirit that you have. The ministry that I receive from Jesus is available to you as well. And so the call is, as we wrap up, I just know it because I've been there. Last year, I was there smiling and, oh, things are going great. And they were getting better, but I was just like, what am I doing? What is happening in my life? Don't let the looks and the lights and the platform and the clothes and all the stuff that could make you feel isolated, don't let it isolate you. Don't leave here today without spending some time with this family. And I can tell you from being on the bad end of it, Brian dresses really nice. He does. But I was going to say, take off the clothes and don't do that. But behind all the, that's not good either. Aside from that, he has a desire to make sure, as well as the district team, as well as I'm sure a lot of the other pastors and ministries represented here, to make sure that you're doing okay. Because healthy ministry comes from healthy people. Fostering healthy discipleship comes from being a healthy disciple. And so we're going to spend some time. We're going to invite the team to come back up. We're going to invite our prayer team. And we're going to spend some intentional time, because some of you need to make that conscious effort to take those physical steps back towards your healthy relationship with Jesus. Back towards cutting out the noise. Back towards cutting out the desire to compare. Back towards the desire to, you know, say, this is who I am. Look, I love hearing good things at these retreats. It's great to hear all the good stuff that's happening. But I've been at these before where I've just wanted to stand up, and it was myself that stopped me from doing it. I just wanted to stand up and say, things suck right now. I'm not going to make it. Praise God. You know? Because if I had done that, I really believe that there would have been people here that would have saw that vulnerability and would have come and surrounded me and prayed with me. There is no shame in admitting that it's not going that great. Because it's not going that great for any of us. Even the guys that look like it's going really great for, it's not. Because it's always a mix. We are desperately in need of Jesus. Every day, I wake up and I sin 17 times before I even get out of bed. We need Jesus. You need the ministry of the Spirit. You need that. Don't feel alone. Don't feel isolated. Don't feel like if you out yourself that you're going through a struggle in your church, that somehow we are going to think you are not a good pastor. We're not. Maybe some people will. I won't. This is an intentional time carved out for you with people who are desiring to pray for you. And in that, I believe the call of Jesus will be affirmed or reaffirmed, or maybe for the first time in your life, you will hear it clearly. It's my goal that you will go back to your home where you do ministry with a new sense of that you are where God wants you to be. You are where Jesus needs you to be. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to invite those of you who need prayer, who want prayer, who just need someone to talk to even. This space is for you. And for the rest of us, even when it's going better than bad, it's still good to be reflective, to be introspective, to examine your selfish, fleshly, sinful desires, to bring them before God and say, I don't want to be that. I want to be a good follower. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so thankful that you love us. We're so thankful that you love us for who we are, that you know who we are. And so in the midst of knowing who we are, Jesus, we ask that your Spirit would prompt those who are sitting here, who are suffering in silence, who are being crushed under the weight of all these things. Jesus, with this scripture, with this call that you've given for us to come to you and take your yoke, to walk with you, to learn from you, and to find rest for our souls. For no other reason than because we need it. Jesus, we just ask that you would this morning begin to call out, to point out those things that we have added to that yoke. That we would begin to look at our feet and see if we're matching lock and step with you or if we have wandered off somewhere on our own. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would begin that ministry so that we can see lives transformed, so that we can see the ministry that you desire, that our will would be put to the side and that your will would be done. Father, we ask for things to be revealed that need to be revealed. We ask for connections to be made in this room this morning between individuals and churches. We ask for those, that bolstering of community here this morning, that not one person here would feel alone, that they don't have somebody. And we ask this in the only name that has any power, the only name that can reconcile us back to you, in the name of Jesus. Amen.